Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Mully and Hall, up early to start your day with Chicago sports talk.
I got to tell you, I'm absolutely loving it right now.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Time to catch you up on this morning's show so far.
This is for you. Let's go.
This summer, it became apparent to me for a number of reasons that we should strongly consider moving up the date of the transition by a year.
They've got some long-term issues that they need to address in the right now. And I think that more than anything else is why Theo decided to step down. When he said effectively that there were a lot of things that needed to be done, that you needed someone that was going to be there to be able to make all those moves. And I think that's what he was alluding to. I'm sure somewhere in his heart, Theo is bummed that the minor league system isn't in better condition. When they came in, that was one of the things they really had to do, is rebuild that. They used a lot of those resources, so that probably needs to be replenished, and that's one of the challenges they're facing.
Mike Mulligan.
He's fearless, he's observant, and has great emotional intelligence.
David Hall.
He's a winner, he's intelligent, he's innovative, he has strong character.
This is a guy who oversaw and brought a championship to Chicago, the most elusive championship in sports. You know, the longest wait was over when Theo Epstein arrived. And so it began in October 2011 and gradually got to the point where, you know, he inherited sort of this old school mentality. And he took a private school approach and he spared no expense and he modernized the Cubs. Whether it was technology, just the whole operation, that was the infrastructure. And then he went out after the people. Every general manager is going to have a share of hits and misses and good trades and dumb trades. But he identified the people that he wanted. He hired Joe Madden. And let's face it, without Joe Madden, you don't know if John Lester comes.
Mully and Hall on 670 The Score.
Let's freaking go.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. It is the first day of the rest of our lives without Theo as the Cubs executive president. And we're just getting our minds wrapped around it, David. We will miss Theo Epstein, even if he doesn't leave, because he will no longer be the man making the calls for the Chicago Cubs. And that's not a slam in any way at Jed Hoyer. I think he's a great dude, and I hope for the best for him. It's just, you always felt with Theo at the wheel that everything was going to be okay.
Without a doubt. You saw that again yesterday. You know, he stays until every question is asked. He addresses every topic that you anticipate. He just gave the Cubs this sort of sense of security. And when you watch Theo Epstein operate, he operated with gravitas. I think that's the word that comes to mind more often than not. And look, I mean, he's staying one step ahead, and he typically does. He's been here 9 years. He talked about Bill Walsh saying a decade is kind of the shelf life of a sports executive, and he's getting out now because he understands what's going on with the Cubs. So you have two things in play here. One, the likely kind of reconfiguration of the Cubs as they move forward in the Jed Hoyer era. And then kind of the second part of that is the reflection back at just everything that Theo Epstein transformed and changed during his tenure. Because when he came, I can remember the day he said a lot of things, and it was, you know, the baseball romantic in him talking, and everybody sat there and believed that he meant it, and he was as sincere as they came. But it was the Cubs, and they were the lovable losers, and you were skeptical of everything that happened at Clark and Addison, and now you're not. And now you expect a different level of excellence. And now he is the standard by which we do measure other sports executives in this town.
And I don't know that we'll ever see that kind of transparency where you have a guy that can stand up there and answer any question, because he really isn't trying to hide anything. He's trying to explain to you what the decisions are. And I don't know that many sports executives want that responsibility. I think they really prefer, let's just wait and see how this works out. Well, we tried this, and back off and stop asking questions. And Theo was the opposite. I'll stay here and answer as long as you have questions.
Absolutely, Molly. And everyone's got their own examples and experiences. But I can remember, this goes back to even before the winning started. And I can remember it was a Starlin Castro decision. And I think that Starlin Castro had gotten into some trouble. And, talking about whether or not to stay with him or not. And I'd written something in the Tribune that was critical of the decision. And Theo had his press conference, and he talked for an hour. And, I get done writing, it's in the paper, and then the phone rings, and he explains him some more. And he just always felt compelled to, be transparent. And I think there's a lot of, he handled perception in a way that we see so rarely. That approach, it's not a common approach with sports executives, because they fear maybe the repercussions of being that transparent. And never really, I don't think it was a bad approach. It worked for him. Sure. I wish others would follow.
Kevin said that he was going to criticize Theo. How do you criticize Theo? Honest to God, how do you look at that tenure and come away with any kind of negative thought?
They won one World Series in a decade. I mean, that's the standard that we're holding
them
to now?
No, they won one in a century. Are you paying attention? He did what no one could do for 108 years.
On purpose for 3 years in a row. They had essentially a two-year window where they were actually legitimate contenders. In 16, they beat an Indians team in seven games that had, about half a dozen of their best players out. Then the offense broke, and they haven't done a thing since. So really, if we're talking about what Theo did, he spent hundreds of millions of dollars on this team that really only gave you a chance a couple times, and now we're going to act like he's God's gift to baseball executives here in Chicago? Kenny Williams won the same amount of World Series championships.
Kenny Williams broke an 88-year curse. But I think it's again, Kevin.
And he didn't have to tank for 3 years.
Okay, I appreciate you jumping on with that, but I don't know that there's a lot of legitimacy to it. Just because, again, the man did something that hadn't been done for 108 years. He won a World Series with the Cubs. The idea that why didn't you win more World Series? This goes back to like the 85 Bears. This is an argument that is fairly tiresome. It is really difficult to repeat as a champion, and it's difficult to be able to keep winning at the rate in which they did. I don't think anyone's going to take a look, David, at Theo's career and say, oh my God, he only won the one World Series. No one.
Well, I think it's part of it. Look, Kenny Williams, due respect. He earns the praise that he, they won the World Series in 2005, and that's a part of his legacy forever. Theo's, when he came to Chicago, he packed two World Series rings with him. I think that puts a guy at a different level when you have three World Series championships that you've been the architect of. And so I do think Theo's a little bit different. In terms of, if you're just comparing guys in town or however you want to do that. And you're going to look back at, his era and this golden age of Cubs baseball with a tinge of disappointment, certainly, because you felt like there was going to be more and there were going to be championships, plural, after 2016. And that certainly was the promise implied. But it wasn't the promise delivered. But I do think he delivered on the promise. And when he came here, in 2011, that was the idea, was that they were going to legitimize the Cubs in a way they hadn't and remove the lovable losers label and win a title. And at that point in time, there are a lot of people that will look at Theo Epstein talking yesterday, Cubs fans, and say, thank you. Thank you, Theo, for allowing the Cubs to win in my lifetime, because they never thought it would happen. And that may not be enough for a lot of people, for some people, but it is a lot. It is enough for many, and I think that those are the people that I think miss Theo Epstein and are going to miss him moving forward.
312-644-6767 is the telephone number. Listen, the longest World Series title droughts ended were the 2004 White Sox at 86 years, Theo Epstein, the 2005 White Sox 88 years, thank you, Kenny, and the 2016 Cubs. So thank you to Theo yet again, 108 years, pretty long time. Let's get to the phone lines. Kevin is in Palatine. I know Kevin appreciates Theo's job. Good morning, Kevin.
Hey,
Kevin.
Oh, of course I did. Long time no talk, fellas. Hope yeah. all is well. Of course, and I love Kevbo, but let's put these things in the lanes they're in. Kenny won a championship. He should get huge kudos for that. But then they fell off a freaking cliff. Theo kept this team relevant and won whatever 500 and whatever games in a 6-year period, 580 games, whatever it was. This is the most dominant, consistent baseball that anyone who's still alive in the state of Illinois has ever seen in this state. Now, the Sox are getting ready to go on their run, but unless they win and get to multiple LCSs, it's not as good. So, and they have to win one. They can't get to one. They can't get to one, and it was close, and they lost in 7. They must win, but to compare Theo to Kenny and just have that crazy argument, well, they both won one. One had a dominant team that had a shot every year, and one did a great job. And talking about Cleveland, there was never a more broken-down, ass-backwards team that ever made it to the World Series, ever, than that steroid-ridden, broken-down Astros bunch. So, you guys have a great day, but let's tell truth.
Yeah. Thanks, Kevin.
Yeah, that's great, Kevin. I mean, look, I don't know if you remember that year, but you can complain about the Astros all you want. The Sox beat a Red Sox team that had just won a World Series. They just beat the hell out of them. They beat an Angels team that had won a World Series, and they beat them pretty good. The White Sox have nothing to apologize for what they did in 2005, and I think it'd be insane to look at it any other way. That was one of the most dominant performances in the playoffs that we've ever seen, the way they cut a swat through the playoffs and won themselves a World Series. It was extraordinary to watch. The Cubs, it was harder. But you thought at that point that there would be more because they were younger. They were a team that you felt was going to be together for a very long time and was going to be winning multiple championships. And I think that maybe that disappointment did play a part in Theo's decision. I don't know. But he did talk about the Bill Walsh 10-year thing that we've heard other executives talk about. Bill Walsh famously saying that that after a certain length of time, the message is lost on people and you've got to move on. And Theo moved on before he even hit 10 years.
Yeah, and I think you recognize what was going on, and maybe there was a little bit of a stale approach, but I still think it's more of a compliment than anything that we look back and,
absolutely.
You know, they got the Cubs to the point where one World Series in 9 years is considered by some people, not me, but I think considered by some people, they'll view that as a disappointing era, and the fact that they haven't won, you know, consistently in the postseason in October since 2017. You know, that's a problem, and that requires some a clean viewpoint, a fresh perspective, and that's why he's stepping aside, and that's why he's letting Jed Hoyer. I don't know how different it'll be with Jed Hoyer, but I think there's some big moves that have to be made, and maybe this is sort of licensed to make them now, and so you don't have somebody who is as aligned with, you know, with the past, and Jed Hoyer can say, okay, this is part of the new way of doing business, and so Chris Bryant, Wilson Contreras, I think, you know, Javi Baez, they're all going to be in play in terms of conversation, the trade rumors. Javi is probably the safest to stay, but the other guys, I don't know. I wouldn't be shocked at all if they start to, you start to hear rumors about trade possibilities involving them.
All right, we'll bring in Gordon Whitmire next. We'll ask him. What is the first order of business for Jed Hoyer? What does he have to get done? And what about the timing of Theo leaving? Was Gordon surprised by that? They've got an extra $10 million to kind of run through the team, help with payroll, whatever. We'll find out if that's going to be money well spent. We'll talk to Gordon Whitmire in our next segment, Mully and Haw on the Score.
Cubs win. Gordon Whitmire taking you inside the Cubs clubhouse.
Cubs win.
Chicago Cubs.
Gordon Whitmire.
Chicago, what do you say? The Cubs are going to win.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Gordon Whitmire joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline. Good morning, Gordon. How are you?
Morning, Gordon.
Good morning. I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Well, you know, we've been sitting here discussing the departure of Theo Epstein. I think we all knew it was coming. We didn't know it was going to happen yesterday, but it wasn't a stunning surprise. It's just it's a combination of appreciating what he achieved and, you know, celebrating a championship and then sort of lamenting what happens moving forward. And it's good to have continuity with those decisions. And Jed Hoyer certainly was here with Theo and was in on all of it. But what changes? Now without Theo, is the safety net removed?
Yeah, that's an interesting point. I think, Dave, you brought something up on the last segment that resonated, is that this, just by making this change, which was going to come next year anyway, it does kind of open the door for maybe some more dramatic moves or at least from a PR standpoint, some more dramatic moves. As this becomes part of a larger sea of changes over the winter, we already were warned that anybody on the roster, all these core guys, could be in play to be moved off the roster. We were told this a year ago, and then nothing happened. But then the pandemic happened, so now there's urgency to that. There's a mandate to that. That means now compared to a year ago, and so I think that's one of the things we're going to see that's different right away. And Jed's going to have a different style and a different vibe, certainly when it comes to some of the press conferences, not in a bad way. But I'll tell you, I have never covered an executive or a manager, or a player for that matter. I've covered for some very impressive, frank talking people, but nobody just as sort of gifted and accomplished at pulling something off in a media conference way that is both genuine sounding, honest sounding, well, I guess both, multiple level things, and yet still pulls off sort of the organizational purpose of it without, you know, sort of betraying loyalties or secrets or whatever. I mean, he just did such a great job of communicating and serving so many people's purposes that way. Whether it was sensitive topics, back to the Addison Russell stuff or all this COVID stuff, Black Lives Matter issues and George Floyd moment, all those things that impacted sports and his team. We're not going to see anything like that again. I haven't seen anything like that until him.
The consistency was sincerity, and I think transparency as well. And so he never worried about saying the wrong thing because he usually said the right thing. And so there was that confidence that he always sort of exuded, which we're going to miss in the media. I think Cubs fans will miss that as well. Gordon, you alluded to this yesterday in talking during the Zoom conference, and you asked Tom Ricketts a question about the $10 million. Now, Theo's walking away from a salary in the midst of a pandemic, $10 million, and the Cubs laid off 100 workers. And were you suggesting that money will either be used A, to help compensate or to kind of cover some of those losses or maybe restore some of those jobs, or B, for baseball reasons? Or did you get an answer that was satisfactory?
I didn't get an answer at all. You heard the Zoom call. I mean, and you talk about stark contrast. Theo, in his opening statement, alluded to a different type of an allocation of resources issue. They're going to have temporarily less resources to allocate and get through this time. He's referring obviously to the roster issues and obviously to organizational layoffs that they'd already experienced. $10 million divided by 100, which is about how many got laid off, is $100,000. There's a lot of people that got laid off making less than that. I mean, that's a lot of real world jobs. And I know for a fact, and Theo acknowledged it as a part of the equation, that played into his decision to do this now rather than wait for what already for years had been planned to be no longer than next year staying around. I wanted to know from Tom, what is the plan? Is that going to go back into payroll and make some of the cuts to the product less painful to the fans? Is that going to go toward stabilizing what's left of your employee roster? He said it all goes back to into the organization. Well, whatever that means. In the past, sometimes that's meant going into people's pockets.
I thought it was kind of amusing, Gordon, watching that, because it seemed as if they misunderstood the question. And Theo, it said, well, it was never about money. They never talked to me about money. And Tom was like, oh, no, there was never any discussion of money. In other words, they took it as they wanted the $10 million back from Theo rather than have Theo. And it seemed like that was Theo's idea, not Tom's idea.
Exactly. I mean, nobody was trying to say that they right. pushed him out to recoup the money, but he walked away from the money, and that was part of his equation. So what are you going to do with it?
Right.
And that was my question.
You know, Gordon, it's fun to debate the most significant move that Theo made. I contend it was hiring Joe Maddon because the rest came next. You could make the argument for Lester or maybe the trade for Arrieta. What
Those
would
are the
you
big
say?
Three.
What would you say is first?
Yeah, the Arrieta trade might be the best trade in franchise history. The Lester move might be the best free agent hiring in franchise history, and Madden's might be the best manager hiring in the moment it came in franchise history. I mean, I don't think you can go wrong with any of them. Because, I mean, you can just put them in chronological order because one led to the next. And if you did that, then it would be the Arrieta move because Arrieta gave them something. They already had the hitters coming. He gave them an ace. And they knew that ace was there almost from the time they got him into a game. And then once he had that 10-win season, 2.5 ERA in 14, then they knew that they were going to target Lester. Then it all started coming together. I'm going to go back to something you said. You talk about Theo's transparency. And there's two ways that showed up. And when we talk about all the great accomplishments, and certainly there have been a lot, and then the disappointment that a lot of fans have kind of on his way out for these last 3 years, one of the biggest parts of that transparency is his honesty with his disappointment in some of the things that have happened along the way. When he called the lineup broke at the end of 2018, that sent a message, I think, that resonated through the fan base. His disappointment was then shared by anybody that listened to that, that cared about that team. And then when he talked about senses of urgency, and October starts in March, and seasons of reckoning, all those things carried so much weight because they started with him.
Right.
And so so I think a lot of the seeds of disappointment for what wound up being a historic hell of a 6-year run, and even in 2018, that team won 95. The only reason that team didn't wind up with a division title was because the Brewers were exceptional down the stretch, not because the Cubs did anything wrong per se. That year was probably Joe Maddon's best managing job when you consider what happened to Darvish and Chatwood in that rotation that year, and for that matter Brandon Morrow in the second half of the season, and they still won 95 games, which through 162 tied for the National League lead. It was the Brewers that were exceptional is the only reason that they got caught and tied. But his sharing of that disappointment set a lot of tone for the disappointment that the fans had, too, by the time it was all said and done, which I think is kind of an interesting way to look at that transparency.
Gordon, when we talk about what is next for the Cubs, obviously they have to make some moves here, and it's going to be difficult to win the trades that they're going to have to make, because it's just the era of baseball. It's the pandemic. It's everything surrounding it. It's the names of the guys and their failures, if you will. I mean, I don't know that Chris Bryant's worth as much now as he was as an MVP. So that's just the reality.
Or that he might be in, or that he might be in July.
That's right. That's right. So maybe you have to kind of sit on that a little bit. But that it is going to be really hard to win when someone is trading from a position of weakness as opposed to strength. It's always hard to win, and I don't know how we're going to get through this next portion of the program without Jed looking like he got taken to the cleaners a couple times, because it's going to be awful hard to win these trades.
I agree with you. How you win trades is going to be measured completely differently this winter,
right?
Because they're going to have to get rid of some payroll, and at a time when few teams, if any, have an appetite to take on payroll. There's going to be, even among the teams that consider themselves playoff contenders, there's only going to be a small handful of those teams that are willing to go in. And by in, I don't think you're going to have the traditional we're all in teams. The Mets have a new owner, and he wants to get aggressive, and he's got enough talent to think that he can win. And so that might be a market setter or a market barometer what the Mets do. But beyond that, everybody's dealing with deficits. And that's payroll deficits and then trying to fix their roster. You've already seen two starting pitchers plucked off the free agent market to one-year deals, less than they would have made, obviously, a year ago. They're not top-tier guys. There's only really one top-tier guy out there, Trevor Bauer. But Robbie Ray was highly regarded a couple of years ago and targeted by almost everybody. And then you got Drew Smyly, who's healthy again, and who everybody in baseball has always considered a really, really good pitcher when he's healthy. $8 million and $11 million. And so how are you going to get rid of a roughly $19 to $20 million guy in Chris Bryant, who's coming off an awful year? Who you can poke holes in if you want and say he's 4 years removed from, you know, his best years and whatever, and expect not only to move the salary but get anything back, and he's only got 1 year club control. Kyle Schwarber, 1 year club control. Kyle Schwarber has not established himself the way some of these other players have either, not for a full season. And so how are you going to move him? Are these going to be non-tender candidates come December 2nd? That was, you couldn't have imagined that, even a year ago, that could possibly be the case. And making this move now, by the way, also removes Theo from the equation when it comes to anything that's Kyle Schwarber. And Theo's the guy that had the biggest man crush on him in the organization from the day they met him. We all know that. And for a lot of valid reasons. But that's not there anymore with Jed, and so winning trades is, I mean, if he gets something of value that turns into something at the big league level, if he gets a couple of bullpen pieces that help or an important bench piece and is able to move significant salary and kind of keep the club in position to kind of stay afloat this year and maybe compete down the road, that's how you're going to ultimately view whether his trades this winter are successful, if he's able to pull off any.
Gordon, thanks a ton. We appreciate it, buddy.
Good
All
stuff,
right, you
Gordon.
Got it, guys.
That's Gordon Whitmire. Always a joy to talk to him. 312-644-6767 is the number. We've got Kevbo with the scoreboard update. Off you go, Kevin.
Obvious, our postseason performance since 17. So 18, 19, 20, and 19, we didn't get in, but our performance down the stretch. So our performance when it really mattered, I thought was a calling card for us through 15, 16, and even into 17. If you look at the division series that year, and I felt that was a part of our identity and something that we could rely on, just that we tended when our backs were against the wall, we found a way to play our best baseball. And, you know, for whatever reason, we just have not done the same in big moments the last 3 years.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. That is the former Cubs employee, Theo Epstein, now a free agent. Or I guess Friday, technically, is when he becomes available to...
The 20th, yeah, Friday.
To all takers. Yeah. And David, it's funny because, you know, Kevin wanted to jump on to insult Theo.
Not personally.
Well, yeah. You did.
I love him as a guy.
And we had a caller that didn't make it to the air that just called in to tell Kevin he's a jerk. So that there's that. But
it's,
Dustin...
It's so many words.
Dustin has a theory, and it's he smells a rat. Let's hear from our guy Dustino.
It's just thanks for giving me a second here. By the way, I miss the miss being part of the 5-on-5 or the 6-on-6 or pick six. what?
Seven
how,
on seven
how
drill.
Does one? How does one walk away from $10 million? And I think the idea, David, you put this out there and it's great. Like Theo being part of a group that would potentially buy the White Sox when the Reinsdorfs sell off, when Jerry's no longer with us. I know that $10 million is like a dollar when you're talking about buying a baseball team, but it's still like wealth. Like $10 million smartly invested, like that sets up like both of his sons for the rest of their lives. What he would make next year. Why couldn't he sit in the background and let Jed really make the real decision? Like it's on Jed, but be the concierge if we want to go godfather on this whole thing. It just, I think Theo Epstein by far in Chicago is the absolute best team president that I have seen in my 40 years of paying attention to sports. Without a doubt. But as far as a general manager goes, he's above average. He's always worked with a huge checkbook. Now, also, I think MLB kind of put a Theo Epstein / Cubs rule in when they were spending all kinds of money on that, what was it, the international pool, right? They put in that rule, and then the Cubs weren't able to do that, and they did great things with that international pool money. But I think Theo's going to go down as the greatest president in team sports in Chicago, period. But as far as a GM, I'm not so sure. And I actually can't believe I'm doing this, but I'm agreeing with Kevbo on this one.
It's never a good thing.
Never a good thing. But the Marquee Network, during that whole song and dance Zoom call yesterday, you know, the Cubs since 1946, 69 seasons, then Theo, postseason experience, six. Theo, 5. First place finishes, 5 in 69 years, with Theo, 3, winning the 2016 World Series. I mean, that is the thing. Once you taste it, it's like steak, right? It's like when you finally order a proper steak, when you go to a place like Delmonico's in Las Vegas, and you get the steak medium rare, even if you were like a high medium, as I heard one famous Chicago sports talk show host order a steak. I'd never heard that in my life. I would like that high medium. Once you eat that succulent steak cooked to medium rare perfection, you want it again and again and again. You never go back to the high medium. So once
medium
you're spoiled,
plus, I think, is what was
medium
said,
plus. Medium.
I wasn't. Okay. It wasn't. Necessarily I might have been.
Too,
me,
I might have been too Marty.
It was me.
Two martinis in.
You were halfway through a bottle of The Prisoner,
and then we were going to move on to the Papillon once the meat came.
But David, do you agree with that idea? Do you think that something smells fishy with the $10 million?
No.
I think Theo left because Theo was done.
No, I don't. Think, you guys can you can continue if you like. I don't. I don't agree with that. I don't think
you just walk away from $10 million. How do you do that?
I don't know anything about his personal finances any more than you do. But I think that when you look at his ability to. The confidence that he has in his ability to get another job that will be something that
Absolutely.
Compensates him
for sure.
in a way yep. that he doesn't miss the $10 million. He's not walking away from his employability. He's not walking away from
of
something
not,
that
no. But
absolutely.
It's like Le'Veon Bell, right? Le'Veon Bell never was going to make up that money that he sat out that year with the Steelers. I just don't know how he's ever going to make that up. Listen, this is not anti-Theo. I just
I just think the whole direction of the conversation is absurd to me because I just think there's no
well, Gordon yesterday, here. Gordon yesterday on the Zoom call, and you guys kind of talked about it, he kind of brought it up. I mean, Gordon wouldn't stop with the, where's the money going to go? What's with the 10 million? How does he walk from the 10 million? How will the 10 million, you know,
Gordon has done a nice job of holding the Ricketts accountable for explaining how they spend the money that they make or they recoup in this case. And he wants to know if it's directed toward baseball or if it's going to be directed toward the people who lost their jobs. That's a fair question that Tom Ricketts did not want to answer. He wanted to keep the focus on Theo. And I understand why. I also understand why he asked the question. It's a fair question, but I just don't know that I'm going to look at that and the unwillingness to answer a question and think, oh, God, there's something more here, because I just don't think there is.
It just seems too smooth and too easy. It's just weird to me. He could sit in the box with his sons and his wife and enjoy baseball next year and not have to, like, grind it out.
But Dustin, and thank you for jumping on. Everything that happens with the Cubs from when Theo is the president is on Theo's record. That's all part of who Theo is and how you will eventually evaluate him, even if he were to, as you suggest, sort of just collect a check and sit back and not do anything. Take your $10 million and let Jed do all the work anyway. I don't think that's who he is and what he wanted out of it. I do think, David, what's interesting to me is when Theo says that the Ricketts are set up with this team generationally. And I believe that, you know, they've got all of the businesses around it. You know, when you're a businessman and you lose a huge revenue stream and you're not making the profits you once did, then you want to trim back and you want to make sure you save. But I would argue that right now in baseball, and this is why the Mets are so dangerous, because they have an owner that did not lose money, that paid through the nose to get a franchise, but isn't coming off a year where he lost money. So now part of his investment in buying the team will be to go procure players for that team. I think there's an opportunity right now. If you're old man Potter and you don't panic up on the hill and you just buy and buy and buy, you can collect as much as you want, knowing that down the line you will have profit. But I don't think anyone in baseball, I don't think business people look at it that way.
Yeah, I don't think you can look at anything in baseball and know with any certainty what's ahead economically. I mean, this is an offseason unlike any other. And if you're Tom Ricketts, you're concerned about your investments, you're concerned about the future, you're concerned about a lot of things. But when, you know, Theo came to him or they had these discussions, I don't think this surprised anybody. Maybe the timing was certainly caught us off guard, because you thought, well, geez, you know, it's Tuesday. What's going to happen on a Tuesday? Let's talk. In that context, it was shocking. But when you take a step back, it really isn't. This is somebody who told us from day one, there's about a decade left. He's going to be here for 10 years. Bill Walsh said so. And the walking away from $10 million, totally unorthodox. But we're talking about a guy who left Boston in a gorilla suit at one point in time. He's not your conventional leader. He's not your prototypical sports executive. So the fact that he can do it without really worrying about how he's going to make his next $10 million, I think it speaks to just how accomplished he has been in his life. And yeah, I understand all the questions about it. It is very strange. I wonder how the Cubs are going to spend that money as well. But I don't know that it means anything more than that. It's another chapter in a great legacy for Theo Epstein. And, you know, we're getting texts as well. You guys are, you know, Theo's good to you guys, so that's why you're going to miss him. Absolutely, that is true. I don't think that means you're going to not look at him in a way, you know, he did not do a good job in the last 3 years as a general manager. Fair enough. But as a team president and executive, I don't know that they come much better than Theo Epstein in Chicago.
Let's squeeze in John. John's on the south side. Good morning, John.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I kind of take offense to some of the producers with their south side bias and not being able to admit Theo Epstein is probably the greatest front office executive in all of sports, minus maybe Bill Belichick. You know how hard it is to put together championships in baseball? He didn't just just do two in Boston. He also helped build the third one when Cherington took over. Then he comes to Chicago, wins a fourth, and then he builds this great, sustainable, successful team that's had a window to win in a World Series for the last 5 or 6 years. I don't know how you can deny this guy that he is by far the best front office executive probably in the history of sports, also considering baseball is really, really hard to win multiple times, right? It's not like football or basketball or hockey. You know, the Blackhawks won a whole bunch, the Bulls back then, whatever. You know, it's probably the most difficult sport to put together a full roster, manage the minor league. If Theo Epstein were today to go to the White Sox, they would welcome him with open arms.
No doubt about it. Yeah, and I think Kevin's the only producer that has a South Side bias. I think Dustin, if I'm not mistaken, is like one of the biggest Cub fans I know. He's got the grass in his backyard. Didn't he have seasons when they were losing more than any team in the history of mankind? So yeah, I think you're wrong about what their take stems from. But I tend to agree, David, that Theo is as good a sports executive as there is ever.
Yeah, it just and the fact that, you know, $10 million is a lot of money. There's no question about it. But he could wake up tomorrow morning and announce he's going to join the Phillies or the Mets and for much more than that as a salary. And it may raise our eyebrows, but it wouldn't be shocking because that's what he's going to command the next time he gets a job. He has the luxury of deciding when he wants to pursue his next job. Not all of us have that luxury, but he certainly is one of those guys that does.
All right, we've got Dave Wannstedt next. We're going to talk to the coach about the Bears' woes. That's right. We're going to get into it. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 at the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, oh.